last thing we have before we let you go, then, is it seems everybody around the time and place has an Allman Brothers story coming up.
You don't want to hear my Allman Brothers story.
Oh, my God. You have one or two, huh?
What can I tell? Let me sort through the random access memory and find one to tell.
A lot of the stories I've heard involve a lot of throwing up.
Yeah, a lot of throwing
up. They were out in the garage.
Throwing up, throwing out.
Yeah.
The first really big gig I think the Allman Brothers did was the old City Auditorium.
Yeah.
And I did that. I was the promoter. And I had done, by that time, I had a couple of years under my belt. Kind of had, you know, we made the rules up as we went along. There was no rule book back in those days. I mean, we just, well, is that, you know, that the way it's supposed to be? Well, yeah, I think if that's the way it's supposed to be. But the thing that sticks in my memory, and my wife and I still talk about it, she was there. We think that there were almost as many people on stage as there was in the audience. They brought just, you know, they barely had enough room to play. There were so many people standing on the stage. And I was the hall manager. They were throwing dope off the stage. They were throwing it. Either somebody was throwing it to them or something. I don't remember. But somehow there was an exchange of marijuana in little packages going back and forth. And I was scared to death that the hall manager was going to see it, call the police on us.
Yeah.
And so I was dogging him, trying to keep him from coming down there. And every few minutes there would be some fight backstage. I'd have to go, you know, referee. And the Allman Brothers always had some of the meanest road crew that you've ever come across in your life. Really mean people. No love, understanding. None.
Yeah, we were down talking.
And I always had terrible problems with them. And, so I've got some really bad memories of the home.
Kirk West down at the Big House Museum said the same sort of thing. Said when the roadies weren't busy, they were causing trouble and making.
They made trouble. They walked in and said, what can we do? What can we fuck up? Yeah, that's exactly their attitude. And made it really hard to do a show. Made it really difficult.
Certainly glad you
and they left. And they really, the band had no control. I never could quite understand that. The band had to kick their ass out of there so quick that the head would have spun. They had no, they made no efforts. And you know, Dwayne was not some shy, retiring wallflower. I mean, he was a force, he was a presence. And I never understood why Dwayne didn't clean that act up. It was a bad act.
He and Barry, I always thought, would want to be bikers to a certain degree.
Maybe that's what it was. Dwayne was a smart man. You know, like you meet a smart truck driver.
Yeah.
Quit high school in the 10th grade. He was that kind of smart. But he was smart. And he understood what was going on. He didn't quite understand the business that was going on. Because everybody's heard those stories.
Yeah.
No need to get into them again. No need to speak ill of the dead. He watched the situation. He'd watch me, and he'd watch things, and he, you know, he could process. It was a bad scene. It was a bad traveling scene. You know, it just was not good. And you could buy them off with dope, but real early in my career, I decided there were going to be two things I was not going to do. I was not going to be a pimp. I was not going to be a dope. So I never gave groups dope. never participated in it backstage. And that was not a good thing with the Allman Brothers.
Not be part of.
It was not a good thing. You needed to walk in on the day of the show when they were setting up and distribute stuff. And I just wouldn't do it. I'd get them food. I'd get them beer. I'd get them whiskey. Get them all of that stuff. That's not what they wanted.
Yeah. You probably kept them around a little longer, but not for
I don't know.
Feeding them and stuff.
But the Allman Brothers are not one of the groups that I look back on fondly. But yet, the Allman Brothers live at the Fillmore, one of the most incredible albums. You know, if I had to pick the top five rock and roll albums, that would be in there. It's the Allman Brothers at their peak. They peaked that night, I believe. And it's like just a giant locomotive, just and every part's working just right, and it's just functioning.
And they had those nights when they had everything clicking.
Yeah, there were other ones, but they weren't recorded.
Yeah.
I was at some that were just like that too. It always took them a half an hour, you know, to get into it. But then it was, you know, J-Mo and other drummer was
Butch.
I mean, they were just one of the most incredible percussion platforms
Two totally different styles
that meshed perfectly. Another group, the Santana. God, they were so good. Their rhythms and polyrhythms.
Yeah.
Just amazing. Well, J-Mo and what's his name?
Butch Trucks.
Yeah, Butch was on it. Butch and Jay were always the nice guys.
Yeah. Usually the drummers are. Being a drummer myself.
I was a friend of mine was, James Schneider was a friend with J-Mo, and he got married, and it was like, you know, now more than way back then. But J-Mo was at his little reception and all that, and one of my girlfriends had gone to school and had known the Allman Brothers. She'd gone to the school in
Wesleyan.
And so she went up to J-Mo and she said, "Hi, I wanted to say hi. I used to know you back in those days." He ran. He ran from her. And he showed back up. She was like, "Well, I can't." He showed back up about a half hour later and apologized and said, "I have to tell you, through the years, so many women have come up to me and they say, 'Oh, I used to know you back then. And I have your baby.
Have your child.'"
Yeah. So he just said he did not want to hear that.
He learned to run.
Yeah. Right.